New Jersey at the start of July joined what is, at least for the moment, a short list of states mandating a $15 minimum wage over time. Not much time, by the way. Superficially, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. But what does the future of a plan like this hold for those it's supposedly supposed to benefit? This is important, especially because there's also an effort at a federal level to mandate a $15 minimum wage as well. The CBO recently released a study on the various ways an increased minimum wage impacts a family's economy as well as the business world. Joining us now to review these findings is the president and CEO of the Job Creators Network, Alfredo Ortiz. How are you today, sir?
Chris, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Website for Mr. Ortiz's organization, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. I want to just start off with, I guess maybe the primary debate point when you talk about the minimum wage. Why is it that way too many people fail to understand that the minimum wage was never designed to be a career wage? It's called a starting salary for a reason, yet so many people seem to want to ignore that point.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Chris. And of course, it's an inconvenient truth for the Democrats, right? Because they like using that as a soundbite, basically, to get the folks all riled up. But really, you're absolutely right. These are entry-level jobs, they need entry-level wages. And in fact, most people, after 6 months, move beyond those jobs because it really is kind of 6 months of training. So if you really think about an average employer, they're actually putting dollars into those people above and beyond just the dollar amount that they're paying them, basically in terms of training dollars. I'm not sure if you just saw recently Amazon last week, in fact, that said that they're going to put in $700 million training their entry-level employees because you need more skills, right? You need to add more value. And this is the message that we have to the Democrats, everybody who's pushing for this minimum wage. First of all, it's not as big of a problem as they like for people to think as it is. Put it in some context, Chris, there's about 350,000 people who, let's say, are 25 and over who are making minimum wage jobs. And look, somehow maybe the system left them behind and our hearts go out for them. But guess what? Here's the newsflash to the Democrats. You get somebody who's flipping a burger, a couple more bucks an hour flipping a burger who's 25 and over, right? The newsflash to them is you're not changing their lives. Right? You're just getting them an extra bucks to flip a flipping burger. And so what we need to do is give them the skills that they need to be able to get these what we call $50,000 per year. We have a campaign called fightfor50.com, which is to fight for these $50,000 per year jobs that are out there that need better skilled workforce for that. These are like HVAC technicians. I mean, right now, I have to tell you, when we first launched this idea a couple of years ago, we automatically got somebody calling in that owned an HVAC company said, we're one of those. We have HVAC technician jobs right now, three of them available that have not even a high school degree required, no training required. They were going to do on-the-job training, full benefits, paying $50,000 per year starting salary.
Wow. You mentioned Amazon before. That was a whole project that New York City and the metro area could have been the beneficiary of, if not for the blockade by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which explain that logic to me.
Oh man, Chris. Well, I'm not sure if you're aware, but we're the crazy group, the whack group, as AOC called us, that put up those billboards against her that highlighted the Amazon pull-up. But that was $25,000 to $40,000 per year jobs, paying $150,000 per year, and she was as bad as Pelosi. You know, she basically effectively called those crumbs. You know, jobs that were scraps, basically. I mean, it's crazy when you think about $4 billion now in lost wages that Long Island City, and again, we feel so bad for those people because think about the small business owners. Think about all the related activity. I mean, four or five jobs usually are created for every one of those jobs. You're talking 120 plus thousand jobs, especially as small business owners. Think about the deli guy, the bakery, the shoeshine guy, the dry cleaners. I mean, these are all small businesses that would have benefited in that Long Island City community from that introduction, not to mention alone just the infrastructure building that would have gone in there. And again, you have AOC, that we like to call kind of the gift that keeps on giving,
yeah,
introducing ourselves into every single aspect of these discussions and just making absolutely no sense, driving people out, the way you basically wish you did with Amazon. Of course, proposing ridiculous ideas across the board. But, and this is something that, we can talk about, if you'd like at some point on this call. But, the whole drive of the socialist left, radical socialism, is really what's being taken over in the House Democrats. And this is what everybody should be really worried about.
You mentioned how the opponents of the Amazon project call those quote-unquote crumbs, yet 200,000 people in New Jersey out of a workforce of probably somewhere between 5 and a half million people getting a raise to $10 an hour this month. That's the idea of a major accomplishment.
I mean, this is what's ridiculous. And I go back to kind of, you know, this example of these 25-year and over. There are only 350,000 people. That's out of a workforce of 88.5 million people, Chris. I mean, we're talking about 0.4, maybe 0.5%. I'm not a math major. But, you know, what we're saying is that we violently agree, actually, with Democrats on this one piece, which is we want our American workers, our hardworking American workers, to make more money. It's just how we go about it. We differ. We don't think it's through government mandates. We don't think it's through government control. We think it's let the free enterprise, let the economy, the booming economy do what it needs to do. I mean, if you look at non-supervisory wages right now, the blue collar of them, I think they're up almost 7+% at this point. I mean, this is some of the best wage growth that we've seen in these blue collar worker jobs. And quite frankly, we'll just continue seeing these pushes up. And we look at Bank of America, entry-level jobs at Bank of America are starting out at $18 an hour. That's not because the government told them how to do it. That's because they know they have to do it to try to find better talent. This is what happens when you have a booming economy. And these are the kind of things that we should be doing. But those people out there, the 350,000, we do need something, you know, for them, right? And we actually do need to get them out of entry-level jobs because they're plugging it up for the youth of today that need those so that they can advance their careers. But we need to give these poor folks that are in those jobs the skills that they need, the training that they need. Why not work, take the $90+ million that the SEIU has already spent, combine it with some government dollars and some private dollars, and let's get some skills training to these people, right?
Absolutely. We're talking about Alfredo Ortiz, who is the president and CEO of the Job Creators Network. JobCreatorsNetwork.com is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm thinking, too, of one of the stipulations of the minimum wage bill here in New Jersey, or the law now it is small businesses with five or fewer workers are exempt until January of next year. And I know for a fact there are small businesses with 6, 7, 8 employees that they're thinking, okay, who can I do without in January? Because that's how tight of a budget they're running in, because New Jersey continues to be one of the most unfriendly states to do business in at any level, but especially for the small independent business.
Yeah, Chris, that's absolutely right. You know, you mentioned the federal, introduction by the Democrats in the House of a federal bill, $15 an hour, right? Well, the CBO release report, it's saying that almost 3.7 million jobs, and this is a CBO, we know how they work, it probably is up from that, but, you know, 3.7 million jobs could be lost as a result of increasing, the government-mandated wage for $15 an hour from where it currently is. I mean, and this is the kind of stuff, again, inconvenient truths that the Democrats, you know, don't ever talk about. I mean, I always like talking about the Democrats in terms of 3 Ds. They're dangerous, they're disingenuous, and duplicitous, right?
Yes.
And really, this is one of these cases, right? Okay, it really sounds great that they're taking these minimum wage jobs up, but what about, you know, tell it to the 4+ million people that could lose their jobs, right? It's just, it doesn't make any sense, and for what reason, right? Get them the skills that they need. Get the folks that really need that help, the skills that they need. And quite frankly, an entry-level junior high kid, you know, or a high school kid at 17 years old or 18 years old, they shouldn't be making $15 an hour because they don't create $15 value, right? An employer puts net dollars into that person to train them so that they can advance and move on. And that's the idea of these entry-level jobs, right? Again, let's focus on those people who somehow got stuck almost into a rut into these jobs that want it. Because not everybody's going to want it. We can't force people, obviously, into these kind of training programs. But let's allow it. Let's create something that can literally change people's lives. Because, again, the newsflash to the Democrats out there in New Jersey and everywhere else is if you just get somebody an extra $1 or $2 an hour, or $3 or even $4 an hour, and they're still flipping burgers, you're not changing their lives fundamentally. Let's stop working so hard to raise the floors, and let's raise ceilings together.
A CBO report, it's 52 pages. I have a copy right here. I'm going to put it up on our website, too, later on our download page for you to look at it. 52 pages. The proponents of the $15 minimum wage and the media pretty much have been parroting one half of one paragraph of that 52 pages. Reads in part, CBO estimated that families with income below the poverty threshold under current law received $2.3 billion. in an additional real income under the $12 minimum wage option, because the CBO does studies of 15, 12, and 10. But it seems like that was, again, one half of one paragraph out of 52 pages is not presenting the whole picture.
Like I said, they're disingenuous. And one of my three Ds, I mean, the CBO concluded in the end that women, workers without a high school degree, and part-time employees would bear the brunt of the impact. That's the whole group of people that you're trying to help. And they're the ones that are going to bear the brunt of the impact of job loss. it's ridiculous.
Although, like I mentioned, too, the CBO does the report. The most negative impact is in the $15. But the CBO actually does say that the $10 option would have virtually no effect on employment in an average week in 2025, rather. So I guess hypothetically you could say if there was a nationwide $10 an hour minimum wage, could that possibly get more people into the workforce earlier as opposed to being dependent on, you know, pick a social program, any social program?
Well, Chris, you bring up a whole separate idea. I mean, first of all, we don't think that there's a need for any federal mandated minimum wage. I think it's a state issue. Each state should decide on itself. Imagine Nebraska, versus a New York City or a New Jersey or, Alabama. I mean, I don't know how you can even say that they're comparable in terms of states, right? There should at least be a state-by-state or geography, type of approach versus just a one nationwide. But I don't think there should be one at all. I think you let the free enterprise system decide that. Look what it's doing. It's doing great. Workers haven't actually done better than they have right now in this economy, overall. But I think in terms of, some of the programs, this is some of the issues that we do need to take a step back, because there is a disincentive that's out there because of many of our social programs for people to work that extra dollar. And this is the issue. It's almost like they fall into this donut that goes, between a certain range, you really are taking, more than that extra dollar that they earn, more than that is being taken away in terms of benefits. And so we need to figure out how to fix that. The earned income tax credit, I know a lot of our conservative friends don't like that. I actually think if we solve some of the issues with it, it could be one of the best things we can do to get people back into the workforce and off of our social programs. So that is something, Chris, we need to look at, and people need to take a serious look at, is how are these social programs that are out there are actually preventing people from getting into the workforce and trying to earn more money?
Because as we've seen in the various monthly job reports, there are more jobs available than there
That's right.
Job seekers right now, although the workforce participation, after reaching decade records lows during the Obama administration, has been moving back up to a more dignified level, I guess we could say.
Yeah, and because we also have an aging population, those labor force participation rates are going to start being harder and harder to compare, but they are at higher levels right now. But we do need to figure out ways that we can get people that can go back into the workforce, start working, and not be penalized for that extra dollar that they want to earn. That's a really important thing, and right now, unfortunately, nobody has done anything on that front.
Learn more about this issue, Fight450, the number 50, fight450.com. Learn more about the work of the Job Creators Network, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. We've been joined by the president and CEO, Alfredo Ortiz. Mr. Ortiz, thanks for being here today.
Chris, thank you very much for having me.